You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Welcome to Tigers on Tap, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast. Stepping up to the microphone are Trey Leslie and TJ Willis. Join the guys as they talk all things Memphis Tigers and their favorite beer. Turn your volume up, grab your favorite brew, and enjoy the conversation. Now, let's get to the show.
All right, what's up, everybody? We're back for episode 3, a little hiatus here for Tigers on Tap. TJ, what's up, man?
Man, no complaints. Just we got hit by COVID last couple of weeks, so we are coming back. You can hear it in my voice. I am not fully recovered.
You sound a little nasally there, but Kenny will work his magic. We'll get you sounding normal.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, we had we each took our family vacations. We both headed down to the beach for like a week or so at different times, and you guys got hit with COVID, so we've been out a couple of weeks, but good to be back, man. Good to be back. All right. It was my turn to pick the beer tonight. So tonight, hold on first, let me get the there you go. Tonight we're going with the good folks down at Wiseacre Brewing here in Memphis, Tennessee. TJ is going to be mad at me. He's not a fan of this style, but we're going Second Banana, the Hefeweizen ale from Wiseacre, an absolute treat. I don't know what happened with First Banana, but I'm a big fan of Second for sure. We'll sip on this throughout the episode and give a review at the end, so stick around.
Go ahead and pop mine here. Sounded good. It's good.
So, TJ, a lot has happened, not so much on the football front, but a lot of basketball news. We'll start off football-wise. There's not much to touch on, but one thing I'm excited about, you sent it to me almost immediately. We talked about it, I think, in episode 2, but finally new freaking turf at Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium.
Yeah, it looks nice.
It looks like a real field now, right? Yeah. We don't have that washed-out, gray, dirty, dingy turf anymore. I'm pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, I can't tell you the last time the turf has been replaced. I mean, I'm thinking, man, Tommy West. I mean, it's been a while. One thing that really stood out to me was the Simmons Bank logo. I don't know if you happen to catch that, but it is officially on the field, and it is blue. It is not red, so it kind of at least goes with the color scheme. I know a lot of Tiger fans are super picky about using the Tiger color scheme on things, so looks good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I like the I like the blue and gray to fit in with the rest of the field. So looks really good. But really, not much else is going on. I mean, we've gotten a couple guys that have left the team. I think a couple hit the portal. Obviously, JP Martin no longer on the roster. That's kind of a blow, I would say. Mm-hmm. Did pick up a transfer in Chris Howard from Florida, a kicker, which is a little interesting, I guess, given the circumstances and what happened last year. Not necessarily a bad thing to have two guys that can hopefully kick. I mean, I think he appeared in like 15 games over the course of 5 years, kicked like 82% field goal wise, made 42 or something PATs. So between him and Kemp, hopefully our kicking game is a complete 180 from last year.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. They don't want to get stuck in that same situation that they were in last year, where it was, you know, having a punter, having to get some reps in at kickers. So at least an insurance policy nonetheless.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know if we – I think this happened after episode two, but QB transfer in from Cal, right? After Grant hits the portal, sort of another, I would say, insurance policy there is – obviously he'll probably be the second string backup to Seth, and that sort of enables you to kind of maybe see Tevin in four games but keep his red shirt, so you're not wasting a year if something – happens to Seth, and you've got a guy that's been in college football for several years, played out at Cal, and he's got some experience. So
yeah, I definitely think that's kind of why he brought him in, right, is to be that kind of that stopgap quarterback that we don't have to burn Tevin in case anything weird happens. But yeah, I expect Glover to definitely be QB2 going into the season.
Not much else for 2022 or the 2022 season, but TJ, man, these last couple of weeks in June, hashtag WildThing23 has been blowing up on Twitter. I think coming into June, we had one commit for the 2023 class, and as of today, we've now got 14, I think. Yeah. So 13 new commits over the last, you know, 2 weeks or so, got them rolling in. It doesn't seem like it's going to be slowing down anytime soon. I will say it seems like very defensive heavy. A lot of defensive guys committing, several on the defensive line, several defensive backs, a couple linebackers. A focus on the offensive line too, I would say. I think a couple interior offensive linemen that have committed so far. So it seems like the priorities are on both sides of the football on the line and then the defensive side.
Yeah, a lot of these guys providing pretty quick depth, especially at the secondary position. I mean, you're pretty thin with safety. With Caleb Komalafe committing today, that's it's a really big grab there. Johnsley Barbas is another safety coming in. Once Quindell is gone, you're really pretty thin back there, so that's pretty crucial, I think, that they're able to grab in some defensive backs that also kind of have some flexibility and could play other positions as well.
Yeah, I think the same is true for the defensive line too, right? Mm-hmm. After this season, and you had a couple transfers out, but after the season, losing John Tate, Duxworth will be gone, right? Jalen Allen will be gone. So you're going to need to build some depth there. And obviously, I mean, there's going to be some opportunity for younger guys to come in and probably make an impact too. So Maurice White. I think obviously the staff knows what they need to be focusing on, and we're seeing that here early on. Are you concerned at all? I will say this right now, we're ranked, I think, 100th in the nation recruiting wise. Not, I think right now, at least on 247, the only commit that has any ranking whatsoever is Caleb Black. No, not Caleb Black. Is it Caleb Black? Carson Black. Sorry.
Yeah, the quarterback.
The Black brothers. Carson Black, quarterback from Fort Mill, South Carolina. 3-star, I think he's like 57th overall, mm-hmm, at the quarterback position. But you concerned about that at all? A lot of these unrated guys?
No, and there's no reason to be. I've seen a lot of people mention that. You have to think, like, it. Ryan Silverfield has brought the best recruiting classes to the University of Memphis. Ever since he's been here, he's had the best classes the school has ever had. His recruiting should not be any concern. They may not be ranked as of now, but as the season goes along, you'll start to see some numbers trickle in, some 3-stars added in, and you'll see those numbers climb you know, I think it's at 102 or 103 right now. You're probably going to end up in the 50 to 60 range, I would imagine, just kind of depending how some other things pan out. At least probably in the 60 to 70, I think, kind of at worst, which is kind of a bit of a drop off. But, you know, that's also not taking into consideration a higher ranked player essentially just kind of dropping in your lap. So,
yeah. It seems like we've got a pretty strong foothold here in the Southeast too. I mean, obviously Tennessee, home state, getting a lot of kids from there. I think right now we've got 4 Tennessee guys. And then a little bit of a surprise to me, I'd say, but a little bit of a pipeline to Georgia there. We've got several Georgia guys committed and a couple Mississippi guys. So good to see them hitting the Southeast pretty hard.
Yeah, that's a Silverfield thing, actually. He really likes to recruit Georgia, and he's starting to get into some Alabama as well. So I'd be shocked if you didn't see that.
They play good football in those states. All right. Anything else, TJ, from a recruiting or football standpoint before we, I think the majority of this episode is probably gonna be pretty basketball heavy.
Not that I could think of. I think for the most part, I think we're going to go a couple of days without a commitment. I know we don't know what that's like from the football side of things. It feels like every day there's a new commitment, but I think I'm pretty sure we're going to go a couple of days without somebody committing.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Well, we'll jump over to the basketball side of things. TJ, a ton of stuff has happened since we last recorded. I mean, we got new roster, we got new coaches. I'll kick it off with Frank Haith being added as an assistant. I will say, absolutely love the hire. Yeah. I mean, that matchup zone, we've struggled with Tulsa. We've seen it. Frank Haith, I think, is a great coach, long tenured head coach. I think it's a good addition to the staff for sure. I mean, it's a guy that has experience at the collegiate level being a head coach, somebody that I think Penny respects, and will be able to provide a lot of benefit, especially on the defensive end of the floor.
Yeah. I mean, he's coached hundreds of games, right? I mean, it's, probably 300-ish games, I would imagine. I mean, with his time at Miami, he's been at Missouri and then Tulsa, right? Miami, Missouri, yep. Tulsa. Yeah, man, it's 300 games seems like a fair assessment there. And he won Coach of the Year. 2012, he won Coach of the Year. He's been AAC Coach of the Year. So you're coming with tons of experience. It's an incredible hire, and I think everyone was kind of blown away and shocked by Penny's ability to land Haith.
Yeah, I mean, it. I had heard zero rumblings about it, right? Nothing. I mean, it kind of came out of left field for me. Quick fact check, he's over 500 career games at 591 winning percentage, 343 and 237. So won the Big 12 tournament in 2012.
Missouri.
Won the AAC regular season in 2020 with Tulsa. So that same 2012 year, he was the Big 12 Coach of the Year and the AP National Coach of the Year. So you're adding another AP Collegiate National Coach of the Year to your staff. So
and the NCAA doesn't like Frank Haith, so he fits right in. You know, we have Larry Brown.
Absolutely.
They hate Larry Brown. They hate Penny. They hate Frank Haith. We're good. You know, it just fits in.
So – you mentioned Larry. Where the heck is Larry? It's like, where's Waldo? Where the heck's Larry?
It's a great question.
I mean, his contract ended at the end of April, right? It was supposed to be a 1-year deal. Is he coming back? What's going on? He's on the golf course. Larry, if you're listening, let us know where you are. We know that you're listening, but what's up? You coming back, my guy?
It's not set in stone. I will say the last thing I heard was that Larry was going to take the specialist role, where basically he is just an advisor to the program. You're going to get Frank Haith, Jermaine Johnson will move to an assistant. And then the next man up on who we want to talk about, and that's Faraji Phillips. I think that'll be your third assistant there.
Yeah, so Faraji just announced the other day. I like the hire. I like both of those. And if you do get Larry coming back or not, I think you've rounded out your staff pretty well. I will say I think there's still a little bit of work to do roster wise probably, but from a coaching staff, even if you're moving Jermaine, and I think what was that 2 years ago when Jermaine kind of held that role, and we saw an improvement on the defensive side as well. I think he's a good defensive minded coach that's got some knowledge on that side of the floor and can really help out. So, I mean, I'm excited about where the staff sits right now. Obviously there's still that one sort of open spot, whether that's Larry or Jermaine or whoever it may be. But I'm pretty excited about Frank and Faraji being added to the staff.
I like the,
you think
the Faraji thing is interesting because he's very similar to Penny in the way that they have the high school background, the AAU background, both very defensive-minded coaches. I don't know necessarily what Faraji gives you from a recruiting perspective outside of Memphis, which, you know, that's kind of Penny's land as well. So there's a bit of redundancy there. But he is a guy who spent 3 years at Vanderbilt. He was at Whitehaven. I think he won state at Whitehaven. I know he won at Mitchell. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this is a guy that he has familiarity with the players. He's worked with the Lawsons before and with, I think, Team Penny. He's been with both Team Penny and Team Thad. So I'm trying to remember back which team and which organization he won with the Lawsons. I think it was Team Penny. So.
Yeah, I mean, I said, great additions. We'll see what happens with that third spot, whether, you know, Larry does come back as an assistant or the specialist role, and then Jermaine slides in. But all in all, I'm pretty excited about where the staff sits right now, especially. So I think it was today or yesterday, with the IARP, the last hearing has been has commenced, so we're just awaiting, I guess, the verdict there. And if you're one of those that thinks it's something like Penny getting some sort of suspension, whether it's 5-10 games, you've got coaches that have sat in that first seat before and led teams to a lot of victories. So that gives you a little bit of insurance if that's, you know, something that happens.
And yeah.
So pretty excited about that. I will say from a player standpoint, we've gotten three transfer commits since TJ we last talked. I think there's been a couple we were sort of hoping for that didn't end up happening. But all in all, I mean, Penny mentioned it a lot of the last year, but I mean, he's got his veteran team, right? He's filled it out with older, experienced guys. I mean, this is probably going to be one of the oldest, most experienced teams in college basketball next year. You know, you add KO from UT Arlington. Really excited about him. You know, I obviously didn't know much. I'm not watching a lot of UT Arlington basketball these days, but average almost 5 and 5, almost 70% from the field. He didn't, you know, looking at KenPom, they have him listed as nearly invisible, which at 6'9 is I would say not how somebody would typically describe you, but he just didn't get a lot of touches, it seems like, right? He's just like an athletic sort of freak. He reminds you a lot of DJ Steffens, right? A guy that can jump out of the gym. I think there's been videos of him stacking quarters on the top of a backboard. I mean, this is like Michael Wild Thing Wilson type of stuff.
You know, it's funny. There's been a variance in terms of his comparison, right? On who people see when they look at KO. You know, you said DJ Steffens, which is super. I mean, that makes perfect sense in terms of the athleticism. I look at him, he is a smaller Musa Cisse to me in the sense that he can run the court. He's not going to step outside and shoot any threes. He's big on making blocks. You know,
although you say not stepping outside and shooting any threes, but my guy shot 100% from 3-point land last year.
Hey,
in 29 games.
Straight
stats. Don't ask me how many he shot, but I'm just telling you from a percentage standpoint, 100.
Hey.
Also, nearly 86% from the free throw line.
That's the one thing that I think stands out the most is the dude gets to the stripe and he makes them, right? How many times have we gotten in a situation where a player gets to the free throw line and you're like, I have zero faith these are going in. So,
yeah, no. Well, he makes them not in a. Memphis is cursed in some regard. I don't know what happened. I think it dates back to who knows when, the 90s. But I mean, shoot, D-Wash mission. It's always free throws with us. I mean, look, DeAndre Williams was like a 86% free throw shooter at Evansville, and then he comes here and what is he's down below 70. He was literally 80% at Evansville, and the last 2 years he's been 69.2% and 69.3%.
Yeah, we need to check the rims.
You put the Memphis jersey on and yeah, our debt, something's going on. We're cursed.
That's how it works.
So all that to say, KO is 86%, but Memphis fans expect that to drop below 75. That's just how things go.
Hey, another thing on KO, the guy doesn't foul that often. I noticed that. I was looking at his stats earlier today. I think he averaged like 3 fouls per game. Like, that's incredible for a big man.
Yeah, 2.4 and then 1.8 his freshman year.
Yeah, give me that.
2.4 in 30 minutes. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I will say one of the things that excites me about KO something I think we've struggled with, at least Penny's teams have struggled with, is identity at times and people's roles. I mean, he told Kenny in his interview he wants to be defensive player of the year and he wants to average double-digit rebounds. I mean, when you've got guys that are committing to things like that and understand how important that is in a team aspect, and not necessarily somebody that's looking to get touches and score all the time. I mean, those are vital pieces of the success of a team. So that gets me pretty excited of, you know, somebody that wants to come in here and just defend their ass off and grab boards. And if he gets a lob from KD every once in a while, then he's, you know, totally happy with it. So that got me pretty pumped up.
Andy learned about basketball from Troy Bolton. So, you know, shout out to Troy Bolton in High School Musical.
We're all in this together. Isn't that what that is?
I think so. Shout out to Kenny.
That's how, if we go to a practice this year and Troy Bolton's High School Musical's blasting in the gym, I'm turning in my media pass. All right, enough with KO. Let's move on to ACOT, Emmanuel, Boise State. We've seen him twice the last 2 years in postseason play. Another guy I'm pretty pumped about, 6'8", 210. Last year, at least, stroking the three. I mean, he averaged 11 points, three boards, three assists, pretty much. Former five-star, spent a couple years at Arizona and then has been at Boise State. So I think this is kind of like your, well, I mean, what would you say, like your Landers Lester replacement?
Yeah, he's actually kind of a little bit of both, right? You know, he's the one I'm probably most excited about. Just, you know, the fact he's a 6'8" shooter, he can guard a few positions. He's another player that doesn't foul a ton. You know, I just kind of touched on that with KO. I think it also should be mentioned that he's always kind of looking to set up someone else for their shot. And when you have a guy like Kendrick Davis, who's a really good off the catch shooter, like he's just a good shooter in general, but he can spot up and he can catch it. But, you know, if ACOT has the ability to toss it out to Davis, well, now it's just a secondary playmaker that you have out there. Now, I think that definitely brings a different dimension that, you know, we didn't necessarily always have before.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's vital to have guys out on the wing that can knock down shots when you've got somebody like KD, like you said. Interesting enough, fifth year, my guy's played in over 100 basketball games at the collegiate level, at a high level too, Arizona, Boise State. Yeah. So there's that experience that we were talking about earlier that Penny was looking for. So always good to have that. So pretty pumped about ACOT joining. And then most recently, Keontae Kennedy from UTEP had, I think, verbally at least, in the transfer portal, committed to Vandy, and then has pulled the old switcheroo. A little, not quite as dramatic as Andarius Kofi on the football side, where he sent in a
two commitments
national letter of intent to us and Duke. But nonetheless, a little bit of a surprise there, kind of late in the portal. But averaged 14-6 at UTEP. I think, you know, another guard, 6'5", 185. So another one of those guys on the wing that KD can use and as he's driving the lane, kick out to. I'd like to see his three-point percentage a little bit. I mean, he shot 32% from three last year, which isn't terrible. He's in the mid-20s his first 2 years. So hopefully that'll bump up closer to maybe 35, 36% this year. But you got him and ACOT on the wings with KD at point, DeAndre, and then I don't know. Are you going with KO or Malcolm as your five? Or are we going to find somebody, something going to fall in our laps before the start of the season in the five?
The disrespect. No Chandler Lawson in the starting five?
Well, that's true. But, I mean, is he a five? I guess you go small ball.
He can be whatever he wants. He's got like a 7'9" wingspan.
That's true. Now, I also don't want to count. I don't want to count out Jonathan J Law either. I think he could surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, no, Jonathan Lawson's very good. I think a lot of people kind of had a bad taste in their mouth with the Lawsons just because of things that happened years and years and years ago with KJ Lawson. You know, we kind of talked about this as Penny recruited the Lawsons. You know, a while back. I guess it was like this time last year. No, last year. Yeah, last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like, ah, we don't want to deal with the Lawsons. They bring too much drama. No, they don't. It was one kid one time. You never had a problem with Diedrich. Never. You haven't had a problem with Jonathan or with Chandler since they've been on the court. So it's a silly thing. People are just biased against the Lawsons for some strange reason. Yeah. But
I mean, I didn't have a problem with KJ. He didn't flip me off. He flipped Tubby off.
Yeah, we all flipped Tubby off at one point.
I'd have been right there with him, double burden. And you come up in here telling us people don't want to come to Memphis. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think Penny's done a good job. I mean, I think I would have, I guess, liked to have gotten the roster rounded out a little bit sooner. I mean, obviously, there's still, I think we still, depending on what Ayla does, and a couple other things, we could have up to 3 scholarships left.
It's going to be interesting, right? You know, I think we agreed that it'll be 3 roster spots. There's also the thought process that Penny will leave a few of them open for a buffer in case that is potentially something that we hear back from with the IRP that, hey, you're going to lose a couple of scholarships. Or, you know, if Penny's already got 3 open, then it's kind of a nice little buffer. It doesn't really hurt them at all. So,
yeah. What do you think about Ayla? You think he's coming back last year?
It's a great question, man. It's a bit of a mystery. It's kind of weird that we haven't heard anything about it, right?
I mean, I guess it's up to Ayla, right? It's his decision. Penny would obviously welcome him back. I mean, I would be excited for him to come back. Obviously, Kendrick's the starter. I mean, Ayla is a backup getting 10, 12 minutes a game. I don't hate it at all. Especially if he's fully healthy, right? Like, I mean, he makes, obviously you get some boneheaded plays at times, but I mean, he makes winning plays. He's made a number of winning plays for us. So Ayla, if you're listening, come on back one more year. Be that floor coach for us.
I wouldn't be shocked if Ayla took the grad assistant route as well.
Assistant role. Yeah, I could see that. Somebody that's just scrappy in practice as a player coach, but goes more coach for the games. He'd do a damn good job in that role.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else, TJ, from the basketball side?
We should be good. Oh, NBA draft, man. We got to talk about the Tigers in the draft. Ah,
duh. The freaking draft. I almost forgot. Big night. Big night for the Tigs. 2 taken and Lester signed. So Duren drafted. First round, what was he, 13th to Charlotte? Is that right?
Yes, 13th.
And then Josh was second round, 41st or 42nd? 44th.
I think it was 45th, yeah.
45th. Did you see the it's not up anymore. I don't think you can find it anymore, but did you see the video of Josh after the draft?
I didn't see it. I heard about it, and
it almost looked like a joke, man. I saw it before it got taken down, and it was kind of painful to watch for sure. I mean, he didn't say a whole lot. You could just tell that he was extremely pissed off. I mean, basically, I think he was asked, like, you know, how your dreams come true, right? How does it feel to be taken in the NBA draft? And he was essentially like, I'm angry. You know, I'm coming to kill everybody in the league, is what he said verbatim.
Yeah.
And I think there were probably people that were like, is he legit? I don't know. I can't tell. Is this Jason Bourne? Is he literally coming to kill us? Or is that, like, metaphorically he's coming to destroy us on the court?
Yeah, word of advice. Yeah. Never say you're going to go kill someone. It's not going to pan out well. So probably explains why I got deleted pretty quickly.
But and then Lester, who would have absolutely loved to come back for a senior season, but happy for, I mean, 2-way with the Warriors. So pretty pumped for, I know that's his, I think his favorite NBA team. So pretty cool to get signed by your, the team you've grown up cheering for.
Yeah, especially now that they've finally updated the 2-way contract deal. So beforehand, it worked out like you had a max of 45 days you could spend in the NBA, and that includes games and practices. So it's a max of 45. I think the max money you could have made was, I think it was like 200. It was under 300 for sure. And, you know, now basically you get 50% of the rookie minimum. So that's just right under $500,000. So it's a big, big difference there. So,
yeah, he wouldn't get that NIL here.
Fair to assume that's probably a better deal than his NIL.
Shout out to Effortless and going to get his for sure. Big fan of Lester, always will be. So hoping he succeeds and gets out of the two-way and gets a full contract at some point.
You know what I just thought about? You know, we talked about
that. I incorrectly said Jalen was drafted by Charlotte when he was drafted by Detroit.
No, you're right. He was drafted by the Hornets and then traded to the Knicks.
Oh, and then traded to Detroit.
Yeah.
He's in Detroit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. He was drafted by Charlotte, traded to you're the right. Knicks yep. with Kim. And then the Knicks traded Kemba and Duren to Detroit, which led me where I was going to say, is there a better landing spot? He just worked with Rasheed Wallace and Larry Brown.
He's who were the next Sheed.
Yeah, Rasheed played with the Pistons. Larry Brown coached for the Pistons. So
yep.
I think they won a championship.
Hey, they worked their magic behind the scenes.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a hell of a place to land for Durant. I mean, that's Detroit's up and coming, man. Cade is great. They're building great things around him. Durin's obviously extremely good, even though he's pretty young. He can be a good pick and roll man. Well, the roll side of the pick and roll man. And, yeah, I think they could do something special. Plus, they have some cap space there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to watch Jalen in the league and follow his career. While we're talking about the draft stuff, did you see the stat that is out there? Where only five schools, TJ, had multiple selections in both the NFL and the NBA draft. And folks, your University of Memphis Tigers are one of those five. That's pretty legit.
Yeah. Go ahead and say the total five schools, because, I mean, it's pretty good company, I would say.
Yeah, it was us, Baylor, Oklahoma. What's that, three?
Yep. Michigan was one of
them. Michigan?
Yeah, Michigan was one of them.
And then the last one was, I can't remember. It doesn't Kentucky. Even matter all that mattered.
Kentucky.
Yep, Kentucky. But, yeah, I mean, that's great company right there. You got the Big 12, the SEC, the Big 10.
It was definitely the
P6, baby.
Yeah, it was definitely the only team from the AAC. So, suck it, Houston.
Not just the AAC, the only team from the G5. Speaking of the G5 and the AAC, and I meant to mention this in the recruiting discussion, but I just happened to be looking at the recruiting rankings for 23 because hashtag WildThing23 has been blown up. Did you know that Cincinnati is not just top 25 in recruiting rankings right now? They are top five in the country with their current recruiting class for 2023.
That's pretty ridiculous. I know they're doing really well. They have a couple four stars that are kind of carrying a lot of the weight there, but still, nonetheless, I think if anything, that shows you what the power of being in a big time program can do, or a big time conference can help you out with there.
Yeah. I think that helps. We're a couple years away from that, but I mean, I would say the bigger factor in that is them actually getting a shot in the playoff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a huge sell to kids. Is you aren't just like throwing out the fantasy or idea of them making the college football playoff. You can point to cold hard facts and say we were there. We played in the college football playoff. It is possible. So I'm not going to lie. I freaking hate Cincinnati, everything about them, but I'm pretty jealous of that top five and then being able to experience the college football playoff. I would love nothing more than Memphis to make the college football playoff someday.
I don't know, man. I obviously, right. The college football playoff.
The Cotton Bowl was just such a small taste and I loved every second of it. I'm fairly certain that I would probably tear up if I walked into the college football playoff and the University of Memphis was playing.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, anyway, all right, some final news to wrap us up. The Tigs, Diamond Tigs, hired a new coach. About time we got some fresh blood over there at FedEx Park. But University of Memphis hiring Kerrick Jackson as the new baseball coach. Everybody seems pretty excited about him. I think he was the president of the MLB Draft League, which I was looking this up earlier. It sounds like it's a league. Now that the MLB draft is in July, it's a league that after like college seasons and stuff end, that prospects can play in to continue to showcase their talent against other, you know, potential draftees. So pretty cool. He was the president of that, and he's on the board of the American Baseball Coaches Association. So he seems pretty exciting. He's well known, I think, in the baseball community. He's already gotten a couple SEC transfers to commit that we'll be adding. So hopefully Diamond Tigs are on the up and up.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one thing, you know, we've kind of joked around talking about Tiger baseball every now and then, and just, you know, hats off to Rock. You know, he had some good years here. He's been here forever. Thankfully, he is gone now.
I don't know what you're defining.
Trying to be nice to the guy. He was here forever. Get the hell out of here. I'm so glad he's gone. It's ridiculous. You have so much local talent here for baseball, and you could never retain any of it. It's ridiculous. And so, yeah, with that said, good for Kerrick Jackson. The dude is here for a week and picks up transfers from Georgia, Mississippi State, and the damn national champions, Ole Miss. So, what's up? Give me Kerrick Jackson all day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I probably, and my wife would agree, I don't need another Tiger sport to be invested in and follow. But if he turns that around, you can guarantee I will be out there at
FedEx Field?
South Campus.
What's it called?
Cheering on the, FedEx Field. I think, or FedEx Park.
FedEx Park.
But yeah. If he turns that around, I will be out there cheering on the Diamond Tigs for sure.
Hell yeah.
All right, TJ, I think that'll about wrap it up for episode 3. As always, we got to finish it off with our beer review. So I'm a huge Hefeweizen fan. I think they're incredible summer beers. Fun fact. Second banana. Obviously, most Hefeweizens, if you've had them, they're going to have a pretty strong banana aroma and taste. That's just a part of the, it's a natural part of the fermenting process. There's no actual banana in the brew at all, but that's pretty cool. Interesting fact about this particular second banana from Weizacre, it is it's a living project that for the last 6 years, Fabian Beller, the Diplo brewmaster over there at Weizacre, who's created this, is constantly tweaking and hoping to one day produce the best ever Hefeweizen. And I'm going to tell you what, Fabian, you're well on your way, sir. Also, Diplo brewmaster is one of the coolest titles I've ever heard.
Yeah, so what does that mean exactly? Go ahead and explain that if you know.
I have no idea. There's German up in there, but I think, I don't know. TJ, you tell me.
So to be the Diplo Braumaster, basically you have to go to Germany and take a class there. It's the only place you can do it. It's like a very specific,
it's probably online now, you know, COVID. It's
probably an online class.
it's you can only get it there. So that's pretty cool that Wiseacre's kind of flying people over to Germany to take this class and learn specifically about this banana beer and how to make it. As Trey touched on earlier, I do not like Hefeweizens. I think that
you're insane.
Banana flavor is disgusting. This one actually isn't that bad. I'm not getting hit in the face with a straight up banana. So it's really not bad.
It gets less banana. It's really the first, you pop it open, first sip, and smells are going to be very banana-y. And then it's just a very good, crisp. I mean, it's a great summer beer. I mean, this is probably going to be one of my higher ratings. I'm a huge fan of the second banana. It's a hot summer evening. And, I mean, this is hitting the spot. This is like an 8.1 for me. I mean, I could just keep drinking these second bananas. A third banana, a fourth banana, a fifth banana. I'm rolling in to a UCF or Houston game on Friday night, and I'm on 12th banana. That's how good these are.
That's pretty bold. I'm going to say it's not bad. It's probably one of the better Hefeweizens I've ever had. That means it's probably a 6-7 at best, just because of the
I'll take it. I know how much you hate them, so 6-7 for you for a Hefe is pretty good.
Yeah, I do recommend everyone try it.
Hey, Fabian, I think you're doing good work, my man. Keep it up. Let us know when the recipe is no longer living and you yourself think you've perfected it. But here on Tigers on Tap, we think you've already perfected it. So, good sir, we thank you. All right, any final words, TJ?
Nothing for me. Go Tigers. Wild Things 23, crushing it. Looking forward to sending out all the freaking another one.
Yeah, dude, you're running out of those.
I really am. I need more DJ Khaled, Jeff. So
surely we'll only have like, what, 25 to the class. So you've only got like 10 more to do.
Another one.
Thank you for listening to Tigers on Tap. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and a comment wherever you listen to your podcast. If you are interested in content all about the University of Memphis Tiger Athletic Program, hop over to www.gotigers247.com. New articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for VIP.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.